Okay, well, hello, I'm Jip. I'm an undergrad at KU Leuven in computer science, and I've developed Spock as part of my honors program at the KU Leuven under supervision of Professor Van Bulk and Professor Piesens. So Spock is a RISC-V TA, and it's software-based in the sense that it only relies on the very basic RISC ISA. So it does use PMP to ensure confidentiality, but it only uses PMP and machine mode and user modes. And this is important because Spock is really directed at the super low end of all RISC chips. So it's really directed at the embedded devices side of things. So it's a little different from Keystone. You might know Keystone. Keystone is another RISC-V software-based or mostly software-based TE. Spock is like Keystone, but Keystone is not that suited for embedded devices. Spock is heavily based on Senqus. Senqus is another TE developed at KU Leuven, but Senqus is more hardware-based. And at the beginning, Spock was alike Senqus, but in the end, it ended up a little different. But we still share some of the same terminology, and the API is quite similar. Okay, so first of all, the problem statement. Today I will discuss secure execution within Spock and attestation, of course. And I'm just going to introduce the general situation, some terminology. So the IP, or the infrastructure provider, is the entity that controls all the different nodes. So the nodes are marked node 1 until node n here. And the nodes are just some RISC-V embedded devices that could be almost anything. And the software providers will attempt to deploy software modules called enclaves onto each of these nodes. We call these enclaves and not software modules because we already use the SM for security manager, and it would get a bit confusing. So the first software provider has two enclaves on the first first node, enclave 1 and enclave 2. And the second software provider has one enclave on the first node, enclave 3, and on the last node it has got enclave J. Okay, aside from these enclaves, each node also got its own untrusted operating system. And we call this the untrusted operating system because we work under the assumption that the operating system is under full control of the attacker. So Spock works with the DALL-YAO attacker model, so we assume that the attacker can do any kind of software base sec. So an attack could also be deploying an enclave. So an attacker could potentially try to deploy an enclave to one of the nodes. And then you have the security manager, and that's actually the task of Spock. So Spock is the security manager, and it oversees the execution of the enclaves and of the untrusted operating system. I'm going to make a bit of an oversimplified analogy. So in a normal operating system, you have got programs and you got an operating system. And if I were an attacker and I wanted to tamper with, for example, the blue program, there are two ways to go about this. I could take control of the operating system and then interfere with the blue program, or I could try to attack the blue program directly from some other program, basically. Okay. In Spock, we partition the memory into three parts. It doesn't need to be this partition. This is just an example partition. You can actually configure this. The first partition is for the security manager, it's for Spock. And the second part is called the buffer zone. I'll get into a second why it's called the buffer zone. And the last partition is for the untrusted operating system. And in the buffer zone, we will store the enclaves. And as you can see, enclaves don't need to be contiguous. So one enclave is the green enclave has two different parts. And this is because enclaves exist out of a smaller entity called a buffer. And a buffer is basically the atomic unit in which Spock operates. And a buffer is just a piece of memory with some permissions for a given enclave. There are also experimental versions of Spock that aren't online yet that can share buffers, but that's more important for now. And each enclave can basically have a text section to put in executable code and a section to write data to the data section. And you can initialize enclaves both with or without a data section. Okay. Now, the untrusted operating system cannot access the security manager, and it can also not access buffers. So when a software provider wants to actually initialize a new enclave, it first makes a secure connection to the infrastructure provider, then to a specific node, and it can then send to the untrusted operating system the enclave it wants to deploy. The untrusted operating system cannot access the buffer zone directly, but it can use a sort of system calls to interact with the security manager in order to actually deploy an enclave in the buffer zone, basically. And optionally, you can also replace an encryption stop, and in that case, you can actually deploy an encrypted enclave, so the untrusted operating system even doesn't got access to the concrete code of the enclave. But this is just optional. When a software provider wants to run an enclave, it can just send a signal to the untrusted operating system, and the untrusted operating system can then pass through the argument, who also can be optionally encrypted, to the concrete enclave that needs to run it, and the security manager will basically run that enclave for it. The same goes for unprotecting an enclave. That's all done by the security manager. It's kind of an overlooking OS. And of course, attestation is also through the security manager. Now, enclaves cannot access each other, but they can access their own buffers. Okay. And this is basically accomplished using PMP entries. So when the security manager is running, it's running in machine mode. Spock only requires machine and user mode. Contrary to Keystone, who also requires supervisor mode, Spock only uses a machine and user mode. And in machine mode is the security manager that oversees the execution of the buffers of the enclaves and or of the untrusted operating system. And basically, when you make a system call, we will switch back to machine mode, and the security manager will run. And after it's done, it will switch back to user mode to either an enclave or the untrusted operating system. And in user mode, well, you cannot access parts of the memory protected by PMP entries, obviously. So that's how Spock operates. Okay, one neat little feature of Spock that's not that standard is that Spock both allows to use relocatable enclaves and fixed enclaves. So a fixed enclave is basically just an enclave that is loaded into a fixed part of the memory. And this is very useful because of a lot of embedded devices use memory mapped I.O. And for memory mapped I.O., you need to be able to load an enclave in a certain part of the memory. For example, if you have some kind of cooling system and the first enclave controls that cooling system, it needs to be able to write to the memory mapped I.O. And to solve that, you can basically just give the address of the memory mapped I.O. And you can load in the data section a specific address. And when you attest the enclave, it will also attest that the enclave is loaded in the correct place in memory. Now, sometimes it's more convenient to also allow for enclaves to be relocatable. And that's why Spock allows both in combination. So you can use first a fixed enclave to give the enclave access to the memory mapped I.O. And after that, you can use a second enclave that uses relocatable code. And this is shown here. So the first enclave is fixed, and the second enclave is a relocatable enclave. And there is a little problem with relocatable enclaves, because they do not know where their data section and text section is exactly. But Spock basically solved it by using a little buffer within the enclave to pass the address of the text and the data section to the enclave. This makes attestation a little difficult, but they're basically treated the same after initialization, and there are a few tricks to get this working without having to keep any extra data about the enclaves. Now, one last thing I want to mention about secure execution in Spock is that so how Spock basically works is none of the enclaves are always there. They're not persistent in the sense that they're always a concrete enclave, a concrete PMP entry. Enclaves only exist when they're running. So when a Spock switches to the untrusted operating system or to another enclave, the enclave really doesn't exist, and it's just only present in the SM state. And Spock basically swaps out the PMP entries. And this allows for many more enclaves than would be normally possible with a limited amount of PMP entries. This also allows for enclaves to use different buffers at different times. So it's possible to have an enclave, give it access to a certain buffer, then unprotected buffer, and give the enclave another buffer. That's also possible. So it can be quite convenient in a lot of situations. Okay, now, attestation. Only one slide of attestation. I'm just going to give a high-level overview of how attestation functions in Spock. So Spock works with a key hierarchy that's very similar to the Sankers key hierarchy. At the top of the hierarchy, you have a node key. That's a key specific to each node, and it's just randomly generated. And we then use a key derivation function, the KDF, over there. to basically derive a key specific for each software provider when it makes a secure connection to that node. And after we have a key for the software provider, we can basically make a key for each enclave specifically using that enclave's hash. And this key contains all the information we need to attest the enclave. In practice, we also give a nonce word to prevent replay attacks, but that's the basic ID of the key hierarchy. Okay, and Spock uses HackleStar. HackleStar is a formally verified cryptography library. I highly recommend reading the paper. It's a really nice paper. And we don't need a lot of HackleStar. I think Spock only uses some basic hash functions from HackleStar. So it would also be possible to add additional encryption in Spock. Okay, so in practice, this is quite challenging. Because, well, you have to divide the memory between the code. So Spock keeps some internal data structures that I haven't shown here. You need to keep something called the security manager state in check to make this work. And also enabling the different enclaves to communicate back to the software provider is quite challenging. We use a system with buffers, with response buffers, so the enclave can actually write to parts of the entrusted operating system. So it can respond to the software provider, and again, this also can be encrypted. And memory management I have already discussed, and there are also some cryptographic challenges with both enabling fixed and relocatable enclaves. Okay, so I've also done an evaluation of Spock. I don't think it's put online yet, and today I'm only going to discuss the trusted computing base of Spock. Performance of Spock hasn't been tested properly yet, because Spock has only ran on KEMU. And testing performance on KEMU is a little sketchy, to say the least. In memory, you have basically five main parts of Spock. You have HackleStar, that's basically just the hashing functions and some utility. You have the security SM state manager, that's basically the internal, well, I would like call it database of all the enclaves, and the code surrounding that database. Then you have about 60 kilobytes for PMP management, which is just basically swapping out the PMP entries. And then you have the security manager, which is just the main part of Spock. And then something called entrusted library. The entrusted library is not part of the TCB. It's just some utility I provide to make it easier to communicate with Spock, because the system calls to the SM can be quite challenging. Possible future works on Spock. First of all, real silicon evaluation would be very nice. We've already found a candidate, the ASP DevKit C02. Spock will probably be tested on in the next year. Formal verification of Spock would also be a really nice option, though it will be challenging because Spock is both written partially in assembly and C. The nice thing about Spock is that it only relies on PMP, and there has already been a paper by the authors of Keystone that formally verifies RISC-V PMP. And HackleStar is also, of course, fully formally verified, but it still will be quite challenging. And availability, assuring availability is also quite important for Spock, because it will, if it's ever used, will probably run on systems that have real-time constraints. And this could be fixed by adding a simple scheduler or something more advanced, like the time quota system of Keystone. Okay, so in conclusion, Spock is a mostly software-based TE. That provides secure execution and attestation, and is very compact, so it can actually run on embedded systems. Okay, that was my presentation. Any questions? Yes, the gentleman in the back.
That was very interesting. I think
in can you speak a bit up?
Sure. I'm saying that that was very nice work. Formal verification is really required. Because we are talking about C0. So one quick question that I have, you mentioned formal verification as one of the works that you will be doing or planning to do, or maybe you are interested in. So is there some protocol part that you are analyzed, or to attestation protocol? Attestation protocol.
An attestation protocol, yes, sorry.
So is there any part of attestation protocol that you have already verified, or are you planning to verify, or can you comment on that?
Well, I have to repeat the question, of course. So the question was if I have already verified a part of the attestation protocol. No, I have not. So the attestation protocol is verified in the sense that, HackleStar is basically at the station. All of the attestation is done using Haeckel-Starr, and Haeckel-Starr has been formally verified. But there are some steps between Haeckel-Starr and actually getting the attestation, and those haven't been formally verified. I'm not quite sure how formal verification will be done. It's possible it's a separate part, but it hasn't been formally verified yet. No.
Okay. So are you using EMP or EPMP?
EPMP. Okay. No, I'm using a RISC-V standard PMP.
So,
I think.
The RISC-V. We've updated the PMP specification of RISC-V, and we've added a new extension. It's not a new extension; it's an extension to PMP. It's called EPMP, and you can use it to better isolate M mode from the U mode. Because now every time you add a loop to the PMP, you also give access to M mode. In which case we don't have access and execution prevention from M mode, which is probably it's a problem. So every time you provide access to a memory region, you also provide the access to M mode from that region. There is no isolation between them. EPMP adds this type of isolation.
Yeah, in the practical. Sorry. The question was if I use EPMP or PMP. So to be very clear, Spock is only on KMU right now. So it's on Spike, and I think it's actually just PMP and not EPMP. But it's something to consider for sure when actually implementing this on a real silicon chip to use EPMP instead.
KMU also has EPMP.
Has KMU got EPMP?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's something to consider then.
How is this different from the Hex5 multi-zone sort of security approach? Do you happen to know?
Yeah, I do happen to know. So how is this different from the... I keep forgetting. How is this different from Hex5? Could you quickly describe Hex5? Because it's been a while since I've read the paper.
The company, but they have developed an approach where they also try to have an enclave-based solution using sort of purely the machine user mode separation, as far as I remember, in their multi-zone approach to basically compartmentalize enclaves, the different code regions. I haven't followed up their work, so I don't know what happened to it. Probably it's not as popular as one might seem, but... And maybe there are some shortcomings, but that's why I was wondering.
I think I took some inspiration from some of the parts, so the similarity you're seeing won't be coincidental fully, but Hex5 has, if I remember correctly, has another aim of Spock. This is not aimed at embedded devices, Hex5. So Spock is really also aimed at embedded devices, and Hex5 has a much larger twisted computing base. And I don't think it's suitable for most RISC-V device. I might be wrong.
But this is also not a microcontroller type of thing. It's not low-end. This is also like the embedded Linux space, right?
It's the really low-end.
So there's no virtual memory, so you won't be able to run Linux.
No.
Okay. No virtual memory, but memory protection unit.
PMP, yeah.
So you're talking about the memory map IO. And you're overlaying
on enclave
based memory mapped IO. Does that essentially restrict any device to only being in one enclave?
Okay, so he asked if I'm using the memory mapped IO, and your question was if it only restricts the memory mapped IO for being in one enclave. Mm-hmm. No, it is not, because you can still you can still have multiple data sections over the MIO. Every part of the MIO specifically is for one enclave. And this can be a bit challenging because in some cases you do want multiple enclaves to have control over the same part of MIO. But this also can be solved by just putting parts of the untrusted operating system over the MIO and allowing the enclave return a response to the untrusted operating system and letting the untrusted operating system actually do the MIO for the enclave. Now, as I've said, there is already an experimental branch of Spock who plays around with this idea of having shared buffers for exactly that purpose. So it's a very good question. But right now, it's possible, but not in the sense that you can have two enclaves who have the same data section that's also protected over the same part of the memory mapped IO.
Thank you.
Last question.
Martin?
Did you already implement this integration with any real operating?
With any real operating systems, no. Have I? I've remembered only one time. Okay. Spook hasn't been integrated properly with any real operating systems because, well, in practice, this won't be Linux or any operating system. It will be probably a very case-specific operating system for that chip because these are embedded systems. So the operating system we don't really look at because it's also, well, it's the adversary in all of my research. So we don't rely on it, but it would be interesting because you could compare the performance given a certain operating system, given certain tasks, and compare to other operating systems and compare them. So I think it would be very interesting.
All right, let's thank the speaker.